Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm going to start today's message out with a question, a simple, straightforward question. And given the events of today and the way things have gone, I should have nothing but an amen corner out here. But the question is God worthy of praise?
Amen.
Is God worthy of your praise?
Amen.
Is God worthy of your praise?
Amen.
Is he worthy of your praise?
Amen.
If he's worthy, then why is he worthy? Why is God worthy? If he's worthy, then how should we praise him? If he's worthy, how vigorously should we praise him? How much, if he's worthy, should we give of ourselves as we and when we praise him? Amen?
Amen.
Some people hold back. You ever held back on your praise? Some people give a half-hearted praise. Amen?
Amen.
We don't want to be that person, do we? Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Some people give a lot in their praise outwardly and yet don't really know God. People hold back knowing that God has done so much for them. That's sad, isn't it? And yet some folks, it's the outward manifestation without an actual inward change. There is no relationship. There's just body parts moving. It's a party, but it really ain't a Holy Ghost party. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But in 2019, what we want to do is we don't want to be either one of those, which we are not. We are good praisers, are we not?
Amen.
2019, let's go from good to great. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Like Jim Collins said, from good to great. It's not all only relevant in the realm of leadership. Amen?
Amen.
We serve a great, big, awesome God, do we not?
Amen.
And he deserves great, big, awesome praise.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. He deserves it. He deserves it. He deserves it. Hallelujah. We get to praise him. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Woo, yes. Brother Raghu does joke a lot. But I'll tell you one thing. He was thinking about whether or not he was going to end up having a stroke and he wouldn't get to see folk or have a stroke and wouldn't get to preach anymore or have a stroke and wouldn't get to praise God anymore, wouldn't get to clap his hands with both hands. He'd have one left, but he wouldn't be able to use the other one if he had a stroke. So we're talking about, is God worthy of praise? And if so, how vigorously should you praise him? And why is he worthy? And how should you praise him? Amen?
Amen.
So our text will hopefully help us along the way. You will find our text in the book of Psalm. And Pastor Trina likes the Old Testament, so I get excited every time I get to tell you we're in the Old Testament. The book of Psalms, but I don't know that suddenly... Was it some New Testament? How about that?
Amen.
Matter of fact, it was in her favorite book, not the book of Acts. Suddenly, amen, amen. The book of Psalm 47 and verses 1 through 7. It's a very short psalm, only 9 verses, but we're only going to cover 1 through 7. Say amen when you have it.
Amen.
Not too hard to find, is it? Amen, amen. Psalm 47, verses 1 through 7. Now that is our text, but before we go to our text, you won't have to move anywhere. I want to quickly look at Psalm 48, verse 1. This will sound somewhat familiar to you, but you probably didn't know it was here. A lot of stuff that you've heard, particularly in gospel songs, come from the Psalms. Sometimes verbatim. Sometimes it's a paraphrase. But the point should be the same. Amen?
Amen?
So when we get to 48 verse 1, it says, great is the Lord. Now, you may have heard it. God is great. And what?
Greatly
to be praised. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Now, have you ever heard that before? Everybody's heard it. Did you ever wonder why they say, great is the Lord? Now, what they usually say, God is great and greatly to, and he's greatly to be praised. We have that in there, right? Have you ever wondered why they say greatly to be praised? How many times have you said it and not known what in the world that meant? You just sort of assumed God is great and he's greatly, meaning sort of God is greatly, right? Why would you say greatly? That's one of those King James things, right? So you can just write it off to King James. But it says, great is the Lord and greatly, that he is implied to be praised. Amen?
Amen.
So here's how you figure this out. It's a syntax thing. So great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. So here's all you have to do is mix the words around a little bit and then you'll get the real meaning. Great is the Lord, or you can say the Lord is great, right? And he is to be praised greatly. Now it all makes sense.
Amen.
It's not saying God is great twice with a weird word called greatly. It's actually great is the Lord, and he is to be praised there for how?
Greatly.
There you go. You passed Bible school. Hallelujah. What it is saying there, as he begins that particular psalm, can you imagine a song, which is what the psalms are, starting out like that? Can you imagine getting started out by saying, great is our Lord, and he should be praised greatly? That song is going to knock the roof off the place. You start out like that? What it's saying here is that the praise should match the greatness of the one who's being praised. Not the one who's doing the praising. Not the fallible, weak, frail, marred one who's doing the praising. The praise should match the greatness and the majesty of the one who's being praised.
Amen.
It's like sports when your team plays down to the level of the competition. We don't want to praise down to our level. We don't want to praise down to how we feel. We don't want to praise down to how our day or our week or our morning went. We want to praise up to try to reach to what God deserves based on how great he is. So great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. That's a good beginning. Hallelujah. We're talking about, is God worthy of praise? We're talking about how we should praise him if he's worthy. We're saying, how much should we put into it? Well, for starters, chapter 48 or Psalm 48, verse 1 says, great is the Lord. That means awesome. We can go on and talk about what great is. But it's not a big enough word, really. Great is the Lord. If you were to talk about what that really means, then you'd understand what kind of great praise we should give him. Amen? So great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Now, the next time you hear that, you're going to be like, I know what that's all about. Can I hip you to it? Because you think it's saying God is great two different ways. No. Because he's great, what comes out of my mouth should be based on what he deserves and how great he is, not how I feel.
Amen.
Woo! Hallelujah. So if I hear you praising, I get to learn a little bit about your God by your praise. Yeah. You're telling on you and your God. You're saying more about your God than you're saying about you when you praise. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. That greatly means, by the way, with force and abundance. Great is the Lord. And he should be praised with what? Force and abundance. Our praise should be forceful, and there should be a lot of it. We should be tired when we're done. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. I think about my Clippers. They hadn't been winning. They realize they need to come out right out of the gate. They can't ease into the game. They need to be all up in your grill on defense. How long? All game long. If you want to be some timing, you know what's going to happen? you're going to find out how good you're not. Because it ain't about talent. It's about sticking with it. It's about trusting the system. It's about effort, giving your all. Hallelujah. Let somebody else sit down on the job and you take the victory. Hallelujah. So that's what great means. It means with force and abundance, which is only fitting for the greatness of our God. If your God is so great, then why isn't your praise so great? This verse right here, you never get to get around it anymore because now you know what it means. If you serve a great, wonderful, awesome God, your praise should be great, wonderful, and awesome. It don't matter if you're not great, wonderful, and awesome. It doesn't matter that you don't feel great, wonderful, and awesome today or in general. Is your God great, wonderful, and awesome? Somebody walking in this door should find out what we think of our God by our praise. Amen. Hallelujah. As we approach our text, which is not in 48, it's 47, trust me, it is broken out into four sections. First of all, there is a directive to praise. A directive to praise. Secondly, there is a prescribed form of praise that is given. Thirdly, there is a reason why the children of Israel, and by extension, us, why we should praise our God. And then it doubles back at the end and comes back to a directive to praise. But then it slips in a very special how to in relation to praise. So it starts out with a directive to praise, and it gives a prescribed form of praise, like the song said. And then it gives you the reason why we ought to praise him. Doubles back with another directive to praise, doubling down on it. And then a very special how-to. Amen? Amen. Isn't it great that the Bible gives us how-to it's a how-to guide? Amen? Isn't it nice? It's like the manual for something that you have at home. It starts not working right, you have to go find the manual. If your life is not working right, we have a manual readily available to us, right?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And guess what? If you can't find your Bible, there's an app for that. Our answers, no matter where we are right where as close as our phone. Isn't that beautiful? Hallelujah. Amen. So we're talking about the book of Psalm 47, and verses 1 through 7. And we'll begin with verse 1. And it kind of matches, I know you've seen it by now, when that song says, and the Bible says, was it right?
Amen.
Did they make it up?
No.
Were they just trying to be cute?
No.
Was it newspaper clipping?
No.
Not at all. This is speaking to the people. And it says in verse 1, oh, clap your hands, how many?
All
ye people. Oh, I'm going to sit this one out. I'm too cool. I don't do that. Oh, clap your hands. Not snap your fingers. Not just move from side to side, which is all right. Pastor Trina, she got with. I thought she was going to do the crip walk for a minute. There she said. She was. Woo, she was getting down over there. Woo, we got to play that song again. Amen, amen, amen. It says, oh, clap your hands, all ye people. And then for the dignified folk, you know, those who believe that we should praise the Lord like this and not do anything that's not dignified. We serve a high and lifted up and dignified God, and so things must be orderly and quiet. When we're in his house, when we're in his presence. If your God is so great, the Bible doesn't say that you should shrink. It says that you should praise and that your praise should match the greatness of your God. And so it says here in verse 1, oh, clap your hands, all ye people, and then what? Shout unto God. Oh, really? I'm supposed to open my mouth? Shout unto God with what? With a voice of triumph. Brother Jason likes that one. With a voice of triumph. Let me help you, though. That word that's translated triumph doesn't mean triumph. The translators were taking the fuller context and chose to say triumph. So it is appropriate if triumph is the thing that you've just experienced or you believe you're about to experience because of God's intervention. So clap your hands and shout unto the Lord with a voice of triumph, it says. But what it means here is to raise your voice in a shrill, loud shout. But it's a shout of joy. Maybe the joy is about a triumph you had. That's fine. It's appropriate. But you don't have to be recalling a particular triumph or even anticipating a particular triumph in order to shout unto the Lord the way this verse says to do. But you are supposed to be shouting unto the Lord in joy. Now, you're going to have your midnight hours in your life. You're going to have your down times. You're going to have your times in your prayer closet where the floor is soaking wet from your tears. There's no question you're going to have those times. But he's saying here, oh, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto the Lord with a voice of triumph, with a shout of joy. So the question then is, when it's time to give God an undignified praise, are you going to be an instrument for that praise? Or will you sit this one out? Sorry, they're doing that stuff where you move too much and you clap too loud. I'm going to sit this one out. I'll get back with them when they start doing the nice, smooth, groove praise. The Bible says that your praise should match your God. There are times when your God is so awesome, he's so amazing, it's almost unfathomable, and you are rendered speechless, and so you might just pray on the inside and praise him on the inside. There are those times. You can do that by yourself. But when you come to the house of the Lord to congregate with people, to worship him as a congregation, what's the point of you doing what you could do at home by yourself? So as long as you, all ye people, let's act like all we people have a God that's worth all our praise.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somewhere in the Bible, it says that he, what's the word? How does it go? It says he is where the praise is. How does it go? He, what's the word I'm looking for? He inhabits, that's the word I'm looking for. He inhabits the praises of his people. Now, by the way, if you look at the greater context, that might be in Psalms, actually. If you look at the greater context of that, it's not exactly what you think, but it does say that. Just understand, it does say that he inhabits the praises of his people. So what does that mean? Does that mean that he shows up and then you praise? It's possible he can meet you there. But what it says is when you praise him like he really ought to be praised, it's irresistible when he shows up for that kind of party. He ain't gonna miss that kind of party. Woo! They're praising like they actually know me. They're not praising like they learn how Christians move and they like the song. They're actually praising like they know who they're talking about. Amen?
Amen.
That's the kind of praise that God likes. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. So now that we understand what the expectation of praise is and the form of praise, in this case, clapping of the hands and shouting unto God with a voice of what?
Triumph.
Triumph. Now that we know that, let's look at the why. And we only need to continue to read further. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. By the way, I didn't mention to you when we're talking about this praising and clapping of the hands. This is in the mood when you talk about words or any sentence. Everything has a mood, okay? And the mood for this is telling you this is what you need to do. It's not a suggestion. It's the imperative mood. You know what the word imperative means? I'm giving you an imperative, or it is imperative that I do this. That means I got to do it or else. So understand it when it says, oh, clap your hands, all ye people. It's in the imperative mood. Shout unto God is in the imperative mood. With a voice of triumph. It's not a mere suggestion. It's saying, I need to hear your hands clap. So that God can hear. I need to hear your voice so that God can enjoy what he gave you. Now, we find out the why in verses 2 through 5. And let's read those all together. For the Lord Most High is terrible. He is a great king over all the earth. He shall subdue the people under us and the nations under our feet. Keep reading.
He shall choose our inheritance for us. Mm-hmm.
That was it. We were just 2 through 5. Remember, first we learned we have the instruction to praise. And we're told how, meaning what kind of praise to give. What was it? It was clapping and shouting, a shout of joy. It could be translated a shrill, just in case you wondered if it really meant loud. It should match the greatness of your God, amen?
Amen?
You have an argument with your spouse or friend or anybody else, you know what happens with your voice eventually. It gets kind of loud. All of us that say we're all calm and cool and collected and quiet. When your kids really get to you, Michelle, when you finally get them, then they get on that last nerve, does your voice go up? But otherwise, quiet, smooth, slow. But don't let them get on that last nerve. Don't let that argument get to a certain point and that word gets said. You know that one. All of you know your trigger word, your trigger statement, your trigger comment. And what happens with your voice? It has a level and a volume commensurate with what you feel at that moment. So our praise should match the greatness of our God. It's simple, not complicated.
Amen.
Are you with me so far?
Amen.
So what verses 2 through 5 are telling us in so many various ways is that we should worship God, catch this now, for who he is, but also for what he does. See, we get real holy. We get heavy and deep. We get a little too deep and a little too holy, and there's a song that even says, oh, we praise him. Not, we praise you not for what you do, but for who you are. Well, what this says is that we should praise him for both. So ain't nothing special and holy, and you're not holier if you just worship him for who you are, Lord. You never seen him. You barely experienced him. You can't come close to what you're really going to get in heaven. And if all you had was who he is, you know, we're really not that great about that. We're not that deep. I praise you just for who you are. Now, if that's true, our lives would look very different. Because who he is, is God as good how often?
All the time.
And all the time.
God is.
So if we praise him for who he is, then what would our lives look like? Always on. Always on point. Always on post, right? Never a downtime, right? Never giving less than our best. Always doing what God would want us to do, when he wants us to do it, where he wants us to do it, as fast as he wants us to do it, on time. So we should praise God for who he is. But this also says praise him for what he's done, what he's doing, and what he's going to do. As a matter of fact, you want to get yourself all lathered up for some praise, start listing what God has done for you. You want to get the devil angry? You want to put him back on his heels? Start going down the list just before you get down and give your complaints. Go down your other list and keep going until you run out. Keep talking about what God has done for you, what he's given you, what he's helped you avoid, situations that are worse than yours. Keep going. Tell me when you get done. And if you can do that, if you can recount what God has done, what God is doing, and what you know he's going to do, because if you actually get your next breath, he's done something. If you have a past, if you have a present, and if you're blessed to have a future, you got at least three things to praise him for. So you try listing all the things that God has done, is doing, and you anticipate it. You can't, if you can do that without praising him, something's wrong. That means there's no real relationship. You're not making the connection between what's happened in your life and your God. So there's no point in you praising him when you get a job because you don't really believe that's how you got it. You don't really believe it. Don't praise him when you get a raise. Don't praise him when you get a house. Don't praise him when you get a car. Don't praise him when your relationship is good because you don't really believe that there's a direct connection. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So if you attempt to praise God, but you don't have a testimony unto God inside of you, it is empty praise. If you can't tell somebody, if they tap you on the shoulder while you're praising him, if you can't tell them a long list of reasons why you're praising him, empty praise. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And if you got the greatest praise, this is, I think about that song, I think it was Andre Crouch or whoever it was, and talk about, actually it's from the Bible, from I believe Corinthians, talking about if I have not love and I can do all these other things, my voice is nothing like a little tinkling cymbal. It's just a noise. Your mouth is moving, but you're really not saying nothing. If you have the greatest praise, you can dance with the best of them. You can shout with the best of them. You can do all the right moves. You can wave your hand just right. But if you have all that and you do not know God, you've got great worship for a little g God. Whatever God you decide. It's not commensurate with the great God. The great, awesome, amazing Yahweh God is supposed to get praise commensurate with who he actually is and what he's done in your life.
Amen.
Both. Not one, but both. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. We don't serve a little G God up in here, do we?
No, sir.
Hallelujah. So if somebody catches us praising and say, why are you praising him? They should get a quick answer. You shouldn't have to think too long about it. Why are you praising him? Why are you praising him so heavily? Why are you praising him so vigorously? Why you gotta put so much into it? Now you know, well, Psalm 48, verse 1 says, the Lord is great and he is to be praised greatly.
Amen.
Yes. Hallelujah. Amen. That's some good stuff, isn't it?
Amen.
So now we'll go to verse 6. So we've learned, we've got the directive to praise, right? And we've been told exactly what form of praise to offer up, right? And what were those two forms? Uh-huh. And shout. Uh-huh. A joyous shout, right? And now we got a whole list of reasons why at the time for the Israelites, he deserved to be praised. He's most high and terrible, meaning to be feared. To be respected if it's you, but if it's your enemy, to be feared. He is a great God over how much of the earth? All of the earth. We know he's a great God of the whole universe, but in their perspective, the earth was big enough. He will subdue your enemies, in other words. He will choose an inheritance commensurate with the excellence of the one that he loved the most. And he also has chosen a destiny and a purpose for you. And that is the best that you can have. And you get in tune with that and then you got the best life. Anything else is less. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
He's gone up with a shout. The Lord with the sound of a trumpet. And that could be looked at two different ways. The commentators look at it two different ways. Some want to say that he's gone up to heaven. Right, his normal abode. And if you look in the book of Revelation, there, whenever there is a travel from heaven down for, in terms of God, there is a trumpet sounding. So there's no question, there could be some equivalency there. Or he may be going to the top of the hill and say, we got this, and he's playing the trumpet of victory. Or he's playing the trumpet of, okay, go ahead and do what I told you to do because I'm giving you the victory. It doesn't really matter. The point is, God intervenes in our lives and we have the victory because of God. Bam, done. Not complicated. And then we get to verse 6, which is beautiful, because now we're coming back from what I told you. We were going to get a directive to praise. We're going to be told what form of praise, and then we're going to be told why to praise, and now we come back to the directive. Read verse 6 for me.
Sing praises to God. Sing praises.
Mm-hmm.
Sing praises unto our King. Sing praises.
Wow. So we've been told to, all ye people, clap your hands and shout unto God with joy. That's right, with a voice of triumph, right? Mm-hmm. And then we were told all these reasons why we should be praising him. And then he comes back and doubles down. I mean, he says, sing praises unto God. Sing praises. Sing praises unto our God. And then he still had to say it again. Sing praises. What mood do you think that's in? It's in the imperative mood. It hasn't changed. He's not saying, you know, you might want to sing praises. When you get some time, could you think about, give some consideration to singing some praises? No, he's saying, sing praises. And then notice, remember now, when you're in the Bible and you're looking at this language here, when something is said twice, it's for emphasis. It means, ooh, you better sing. I mean, if you got to really be dumb not to know what he wants you to do here. Sing praises to God. Sing praises. You got that? Sing praises unto our what?
King.
I can't spend a whole long time on this, but I've talked about it before. One of the biggest reasons why we in the United States of America are limited in our ability to truly praise God in the ways that he deserves is that God reigns over a kingdom, not a democracy. We have this democratic thing in our brains. So, you know, so that those who are public servants, they work for us. Now, we know it don't really feel like that. It don't play out like that. But theoretically, philosophically, they work for us. They're public servants. And the three branches of government are supposed to be checks and balances and equal. And we, the people, right, are supposed to be the who directs, who sends them, who votes for them and sends them in a representative sense to govern our place. We left, those of us who are from Europe and got here voluntarily. Sorry. We all got a little bit of that in there, so we could all claim a little bit. We came over here, why? We wanted to have religious freedom. We didn't want to be reigned over by a king. And whatever kind of government the United States of America was going to have, the one form of government you could absolutely book it, they were not going to have, was a kingdom. They might have experimented with all kinds of stuff. They landed on a democracy. Government of the people, for the people, and by the people. But let me tell you what they were absolutely not going to have. An emperor. They were not going to have a king. Because when you have a king, what the king says goes. The king is always right. You're supposed to obey. You're supposed to approach the king a certain way. We don't like kings. So that's why we don't like relating to God. Though we're supposed to. The king says, hey, do this and do it now. We don't say, oh, well, you know, I'm busy. Oh, well, you know, I don't want to. Oh, well, you know, let's do it later. What? You don't do that with the king. We don't understand kingdom. People who understand kingdom actually understand the Bible better. Because it's written in terms of a kingdom. Even when the New Testament was written, they had an emperor. When the emperor said something, that's what was supposed to happen. Amen?
Amen.
So He says, sing praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises unto our King. Sing what?
Praises.
That is for intentional exaggeration. And then finally, we come to verse 7. I told you we were going to get an imperative, right? We're going to be told to praise. What form of praise? And then why we should praise. And then we're going to double back and be told again in the imperative mood to praise, 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 in case you didn't get the message the first time. And then I told you we're going to end with a very special how-to praise. And so we get to verse 7, and it says, for God is the King of what?
All
the earth. Sing ye praises with what?
Understanding.
So you're supposed to sing these praises with vigor, right? With volume, right? Why? Because the Lord is, and he's greatly to be praised. The Lord is great, and he therefore should be praised greatly. Yes, forceful and with a whole lot of volume. Amen?
Yeah.
A whole lot of quantity. Amen. He deserves a lot of praise. So he is the King of all the earth. Sing ye praises with understanding. Now this verse, this point about understanding can be interpreted two ways. Singing praises based on or because of your knowledge of God. So I'm not asking you to just praise some empty praise for some generic God. I'm asking you to praise him based on the fact that you now know why he ought to be praised. I want you to praise him because you know who you're praising. I want you to praise him. I want you to dig down deep and pull out all those reasons. I want you to praise him with understanding so there will be no empty praises. Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah.
We will never have the form of godly praise, but ever deny having a testimony of the power thereof. You didn't catch that. Or maybe you're just digesting it. Having the form of godly praise, all kind of folks have that. But if you're missing the testimony in your life and then in your mouth that represents and extols the very power thereof, of the God you're praising, guess what? The praise you give is a testimony of the very power thereof, the God that you're praising. So if you're praising a little g God, it looks like it. It looks like it. Because a little g God, you praise him so he don't strike you down with lightning bolts. A little g God, you praise him because you want it to rain. You don't want him to withhold the rain. A little g God, you actually treat him like a vending machine, or you treat him like a God who is to be feared by you, not by your enemy. But the big G, Yahweh God, when you praise him, you have reasons, because everything you've gotten in your life, you know, comes from him. So praise him with understanding. Satan can't handle when we praise God with understanding. He can handle all the shouting and praising externally. Doesn't mean a thing to him. That's why you can do all that shouting and praising. You go to the parking lot, he can whisper in your ear, and you jacked up the whole rest of the week. You'll sin as soon as you leave the parking lot, in the parking lot. But when you empty yourself of the praises that come from a knowledge of God and who he is and what he's actually done for you, and you have a relationship, that's a different kind of praise.
Amen.
You leave out of there ready to rock and roll, suited and booted, better off than when you came. Amen?
Amen.
Not with none of that fake stuff. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So this particular verse can speak to singing praises based on or because of our knowledge and our relationship with God. But it can also be interpreted to be pointing to singing praises that are instructive or revealing God. so that when somebody were to walk up, let's say Heather walks in here and they hear us praising God, and she sees how we praise God, and she hears what we say when we praise God. If she were to hear your testimony, or your testimony, or my testimony, or your testimony, she ought to hear, oh, I see what that God can do and will do. Oh, I see how reliable that God is. Oh, I see how much that God loves you. Oh, I see. Praise God with understanding. When you do that, it's a manifestation of a relationship, and somebody observing says, whoa, you see two people, and they're in their 50s, and they're holding hands, and it's like, wow, they still hold hands? You see them kiss, oh, they still hold hands and kiss? You start saying, I want that, right? You want somebody who approaches us praising God, individually or especially corporately, you want them to say, woo, I want that. Amen. So these are the two interpretations when it says here, praise with understanding. So since we have a relationship with God, then we should praise God with our mouth, with our hands, and with our bodies, according to knowledge, as Pastor Trina said earlier. Isn't that beautiful?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Our praise will be a reflection of relationship and a manifestation of what we really think about our God or what he is like, and somebody listening to us will learn about him as a result. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Because our God is a great and mighty God, is he not?
Amen.
And our praise is evidence of that greatness to an onlooker. That are some beautiful things. God has been great in my life. Has he been great in yours?
Amen.
He's been mighty in my life. Has he been mighty in yours?
Amen.
He's been reliable in my life. Has he been reliable in yours?
Amen.
He may not come when you want him, but he's always right on time.
Hallelujah.
And just when you think he's taking too long, suddenly. Just that far away, but you don't know it. Just on the other side of that thin veil is victory and joy. Just when it gets the hardest, that's where you got to hunker down the most. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
He is almighty. He's almighty in my life, and he is greatly to be praised. Hallelujah. So the next time it's time for an undignified praise, I hope all you guys will sign up to be at the front of the line to give him the praise that he deserves, because our praise, our worship should be commensurate with, equal to, in line with the majesty and the glory and the honor of God.